Welcome to Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. Julie Brain Lady Anderson is considered to be one of the nation's top experts on the brain-personality connection. She has been inspiring her audiences to fire up their brains and ignite positive changes in their relationships. And now, she is here to bring that knowledge to you. The information she shares will help those who hear it to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. When you learn to tap into the potential of your natural gifts and the power of the brain-mind connection, there is no limit to what you can accomplish. Today and every Wednesday on Brain Lady Speaks, you'll explore the latest findings to see how they have practical application in your life. And now, get ready to join Julie Anderson on Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. Take it away, Julie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Brain Lady Speaks radio show. I am so excited to have you here joining us on the fourth Wednesday in June 2016. It is a beautiful, beautiful day, beautiful week, and we are excited about the show today. We are continuing, I am continuing the theme of the parenting skills and doing our best to understand what's going on in the brain of our children to help us be better parents, more successful parents, and just have a lot more joy and fun in being a parent. So that's going to be, of course, the topic for the day. And I'm really excited that we have a guest speaker, a friend of mine who willingly is coming on the show. So I'm excited for you to meet her. But before I get into the bulk of the program, I want to remind everyone of the different things that we have to offer. We are on iTunes on Brain Lady Speaks, so you can subscribe to that, or of course, always reach us at Brain Lady Speaker or Brain Lady Speaks Radio Show.com. But I want to encourage interaction. I really want to encourage you to reach out to me if you have something about the show that you liked or that you want more information on. Please reach out. Reach out and email me at info@brainladyspeaker.com. Or visit the website at yourbestmindonline.com and connect with me through there. Lots of great information on every relationship in your life and lots of good products that can help you to improve every relationship, including the one with yourselves and as connected to the topic for the month as a parent. So we are really excited about, we've had some fun. The first week in this month, we talked about how understanding the actual development of the brain of your children is going to help you to just better connect with your kids and better understand why they do things the way that they do. So we discussed a lot about from conception right up there to the preteens in the first week. If you didn't catch that week, go back and listen. Great information. It's just fascinating how the brain is developing and what's going on and what's not going on. And really that is a big key factor in helping us to be better parents is understanding what neurons are not connecting so that we can have more patience and more wisdom in dealing with that. And then when we were talking about the teen brain, we actually took two whole shows to do that. That's just how confusing it is. Now, the first show, we talked a lot about the actual structure of the brain. We talked about that all and so important prefrontal cortex and how it's just not completely wired until you're in your early 20s and how important it is to understand what that the functioning or the lack of functioning of that part of the brain does in the way that teens react and act and all of that. So that was a really fascinating show. And then last week we talked about all of the hormonal flux that's going on in the teen brain and how that just further complicates, if you will, all of the growth and development and the confusion that it causes even within your teenagers, and then how you can utilize that information. I gave some great tips last week before I almost ran out of time to just better utilize this information. So if you missed those shows and you are tying in specifically with the goal to become a better parent, or you know someone that you think this information would really benefit, then of course go back and listen to all of the June 2016 shows because they're all dealing with that topic of parenting. With that being said, as I mentioned earlier, we are continuing on the topic of parenting by having my friend and amazing professional, Peggy Harper Lee, on the program. Peggy, how are you today?
I am great. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you on the show. Peggy and I go back quite a few years. We connected through a women's networking group, and I just love her energy and her personality, and I'm happy to call her a friend. But I want you to not only know is that she's an outstanding individual, an outstanding business professional, but she is an amazing parent. An amazing parent, and I am going to read to you her bio, which is going to include that information about her her parenting skills. Well, not her parenting skills, but her family. So Peggy Harper Lee is a mother of four, ages 4 to 29, with a 30-year career in the financial services industry. She has experience in the boardroom, the corner office, working with individual clients, and at home helping others to understand the keys to success that start with personal leadership. Lee inspires audiences to recognize the entitlement mindset that exists in everyone when spoiled serves us, and how to use it to be truly happy, healthy, wealthy, and wise. Lee is the author of Spoiled, Fresh Ideas for Parenting Your Entitled Child at Any Age, and numerous articles on how our entitlement culture has impacted personal and business success. She is a member of the Elite Speakers Group, is a recent winning speaker on the TV plot Monstars of Motivation, and consults with parents and business leaders to empower them to become extraordinary mentors and powerful teachers. She earned a BA in business management from St. Mary's College of California, is an active community volunteer, and serves on the board of Junior Achievement of Sacramento. Wow, Peggy, I just love that. And I'm so blessed to have you on the show today.
Oh, and I just love your lineup and 2 weeks on the teen brain. Don't we all need that?
Yeah, no kidding. It was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun on doing those. And isn't there, I mean, all children just give us so much to think about, but also we have, there's just the teen brain is amazing. And you have experience. So you have four children. The oldest is 29. And the youngest is 4. So how old are the other two?
They're in the middle. And I just realized I didn't update that part of my bio. My oldest is now 32 and my youngest is 7. And then one in the middle. Yeah, no, I totally missed that. And then the two in the middle are 16 and 7, or 16 and 30. So
okay,
kids,
so you have
a big break, and then another big break, and then the baby.
And the baby. And he is adorable. Let me tell you, I've been blessed to meet the two younger ones. I haven't met the two older ones, but I have met the two younger ones, and they're adorable. Now, you have good experience going through those teen years. And what I thought we would do, Peggy, is you have, when I first met you and you told me kind of where that your thought for the book came about, it had to do with some of the issues that you were in the financial industry, and you were helping people, financial services industry, and you were helping people as a financial advisor. Now, when did you first notice that this issue of entitlement, even with adult children, was an issue? When did that like hit you in the head? When did you get that brainstorm?
Yeah, well, I think as a culture, we've been heading that way since the early 70s when we heard from doctors that child-centered parenting was what we needed to do. And not that that's bad. It's just that the approach went from parents in control to children in control. And so really, you know, I hear people say it all the time, and that part isn't new. What was new for me is really two things. One is that my brother unfortunately passed in the 2000s, and my parents got custody of his child to raise, which is fantastic that they were able to do that. But they raised my brothers and I in a very strict household, and ran into some trouble with my younger brother, who is the rebel, is what we call him. And so they decided that they were going to do the exact opposite with his child. And sadly, the results have been just as troublesome. And so it was that, along with my experience in the financial advising world, where I was seeing baby boomers trashing their retirements for 25-year-old couch potatoes, saying, I can't understand this. What's going on here? And just really putting a lot of two and two together. And what I learned is that it's not the parents don't want to do what's right. It's that they feel like they've tried everything, when in reality they've only tried what they know how to do. And they don't have the vocabulary for working through the issues. And so it was just that process of working with those parents, helping. My oldest spoiler parent was 85, and her pumpkin was 62.
And oh, my goodness.
Moved back for the fourth time.
So we're moving way beyond the teen years here.
Yes, yes. So it's just the process of people saying, you know, I've tried everything, nothing works, and helping them through that with the language and just success after success, and really became fascinated with what is spoiling. Because, you know, I always thought of it as the Jordache jeans, or the, and I'm dating myself there, or the Nike Air shoes. And we always think of it in terms of overindulgence. But what I found was, is that neglect and overprotection are just as powerful spoilers as overindulgence. And so there were parents that are like, well, I don't spoil my child. I don't buy him everything he wants. And the reality is that it's really about the balance of power. Is it firmly where it belongs, in the parents' court, or has it slid over to the child's side? And that's really what it was more about, is that the imbalance, should I say, of power.
Right, right. And you can see this happens so early. You know, you can watch toddlers at a very young age figure out, because their brains are learning and they're so malleable and they're just gaining tons of information. And you can see it at the very young age, how they can watch their parents and play their parents and learn just how much they can control, as you said, an unbalance of that power or imbalance of the power, how they can gain power. And in some cases, more than, you know, obviously than they should, because we are the parents and we need to, there's nothing wrong with being the parent.
Right, and there's nothing wrong with being a baby. I mean, when you're born, if you can't make people jump when you need something, then you're going to die, right?
So that's very true,
yeah. So we're born with that need to get what we want. The problem is that some parents have lost their way, that it's a continuum from birth to age 18. You know, they have to pay rent and boil their own water at some point. And if their level of expectation has been kind of constant, meaning that, oh, you know, they're a baby, that I've got to help them out. You know, I had clients still checking homework for college age students. They've lost sight that it's a continuum, that parents, the goal is a responsible, healthy adult, not a happy child.
Right, right. Okay, and with that in mind, we're going to get ready to go to our first break here. So get comfortable, fill up your coffee or tea, and then join me back to hear more about how to deal with this entitlement and be a great parent without spoiling. And we will come back on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
With her thorough understanding of brain chemistry, Julie Anderson provides you with tools and processes that will change your life in a positive way. Julie uniquely blends science and psychology when she shares her knowledge and information with businesses, entrepreneurs, women's groups, and families to improve workplace morale and productivity, parents creating dynamic relationships with their children, and women achieving more in life and business. Julie Anderson will be right back with Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living radio network.
Through decades of study, research, training, and personal experience, Kimberly Rinaldi has found that the answers always exist within. Explore the realm of consciousness, the unconscious mind, creative consciousness, and higher consciousness. Apply the tools you'll take away from these conversations and watch your life begin to unfold in ways that will make you believe in magic if you didn't already. Mind, Science, and Metaphysics, Mondays 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
Imagine what your life would be like if you could master the thoughts in your head that hold you back, the thoughts that prevent you from living the very best version of the life you're here to live, the very best business that you're here to create. I'd like to invite you to join the Art of Personal Mastery, the free online event that starts the 11th of April. All you have to do to join is to go to www.theartofpersonalmastery.com, enter your name, your email, click get access, and I'll share with you how to join me and 21 leading experts from around the world talking about how to break your bad habits, create powerful new ones, master your mindset and your actions to create the life you're here to live. I'll see you there. www.theartofpersonalmastery.com. I'll see you soon.
Welcome back to Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. By including the latest scientific research on the brain-personality connection, Julie Brain Lady Anderson provides her clients with the all-important why behind what people do and how they think. The information she shares will help those who hear to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. Here again is your host, Julie Anderson, with Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
All right, we are back. We are back on this beautiful day here in Northern California talking with Peggy Harper Lee about her expertise in the area and a little bit of the information that she shares in her book, Spoiled: Fresh Ideas for Parenting Your Entitled Child at Any Age. You brought out a really good point, Peggy, before we went to break, that when you are an infant, it is kind of all about you. You know, you have to, in order to survive, you have to make yourself known and demand to be fed and demand to be cared for in order to survive. And then, you know, that power has to start shifting away and getting back into the parents' hands. So what are some of the other things that you've really noticed when this shift becomes, when it fails to start taking shape?
Yeah, well, you know, and no parent, I'll just say this, I just have great respect for parents. It's the hardest job, in my opinion, in the universe, and the one for which we get the least training, support, and information.
Right. There's no manual. Where's the manual?
I know there's no manual. But you know, let's just take the example of childproofing your home. And I use this example in my book as well. I was at the library here in my town, and there was a 2-year-old just completely running amok, touching everything, pushing over things, grabbing things from other children, just completely running amok. And I heard people grumbling, oh, you know, that kid's a mess and whatever. And I was just kind of watching what was happening between the parent and the child, and the parent kept redirecting. And what I realized is she's probably made the home in which they live so baby-proof, so, you know, there's no temptations, nothing for the child to get in trouble with. That when she goes outside of that environment, it's chaos. And I think we tend to do that not only to make our lives easier, but just so that we can keep them safe. And, you know, it starts in the twos. It starts before the age of two. You really just have to redirect, and really there's no discipline. But it really starts earlier than we think. And sometimes just with the lack of sleep and the, you know, lack of information, we just keep doing our best and bumbling along. But if we don't start at that point to start drawing some boundaries and start teaching some concepts, then it gets harder as it goes along. And I think that's the thing that comes and smacks people in the eyes sometimes, is they end up at 8 and 10 and you can't pick your pumpkin up anymore and move them out of the environment. So it really starts early, and consistency is the key. And I have parents all the time say, oh, I'm not very good at consistency. And I'm like, well, that's good you know that, but that's where we have to start then. Because what we know through operant conditioning is that if you're inconsistent in what you're asking or expecting your child to do, you're actually reinforcing the opposite behavior that you're asking for.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to start there. But it does start early, earlier than
right.
I think most people are ready for.
Yeah, and you know what? We have recently visited Disneyland, and boy, is that not – you see that all around you, that consistency or that lack of consistency when you see one of these little children obviously excited and happy, but wanting a little bit of everything. And the no is said three or four times, and then eventually it turns into an okay.
Right.
And the little ones, they learn this at such an easy age, and takes them right up into when those begging for something becomes much more serious than an ice cream or a toy. It becomes a serious situation that you're saying no to, that you might wind up giving into with very dire circumstance or consequences, I should say.
Yeah, exactly.
So now, Peggy, take us kind of nudge us up then. So you have this child, and let's say you're listening to this, and someone is listening to the show, and they're thinking to themselves, oh my goodness, I was one of those parents, and I was trying, and we aren't, I want to emphasize the same as Peggy did earlier, you know, being a parent is an amazing thing. And we all, I really feel that by far the majority of parents go into the project of parenting with the best of intentions. And at times we kind of fall off our track, so to speak, as to where are the goals that we had. And we, with no manual, we kind of realize, I let this go too far. So when you're in those teen years, you have you had some fun things that you bring out in your book about ways to deal with your teen when they are wanting to do something. And now you've got a shift, because it's no longer, like I said, the ice cream or the toy. It's now something serious, perhaps an event that they want to go to that is not, it's just not acceptable. It's not a safe place to be. What's your suggestion or your advice on dealing with that type of a situation once it's gotten out of hand, to kind of rein it back in?
Yeah, well, again, consistency is the key. And one of the chapters in my book didn't exist until I had conversations with a lot of parents, and it's chapter 13, which is called Kid Basics. And I just realized when I was talking to parents and saying, okay, so what characteristics are you wanting to develop in your child? What conversations have you had around that? Basically, what is your vision and mission statement for your family and for your kids? They could rattle off their business mission vision statement, no problem, but they didn't really have a grasp on what that looked like in their home. So really starting back to the basics and having those conversations with your kids and letting them know you don't like those arguments any better than they do, and you're going to take the role as an adult, and they're going to stop from your side. And just talking through with them your goal and your vision of what parenting looks like to you, and how you want to interact with them, and just start there. Chapter 14 is the don't miss chapter for teens, and it's called Be the Rock. And that chapter was written from a lot of personal experience. My oldest is my only girl, and my tough stretch with her was about 10 and a half to 12. And I had some of the typical issues, wanting to date a boy. I said no. She went behind my back, and this all came to light because a note dropped out of her backpack that curled my hair.
Oh, no, one of those.
one of those. And so in some moment of desperation, I just told her she was grounded for I think I said 2 months. She might even say it was longer than that, but it was a long period of time. But then something in my brain clicked and said, okay, what is she going to do during those 2 months? And so as part of that 2 months, I required her to speak to me for an hour a day. And at first she was so resistant. You know, I don't have anything to say to you. And I would say to her, great, look out the window and describe to me what you see outside. It really didn't matter what she talked about. So we developed this routine of while I was in the kitchen in the evenings, she would come in and get her hour over with during that time. But we just really transitioned into this beautiful cemented relationship. And that's where Be the Rock was born. And I realized that if kids with no boundaries keep searching for boundaries, they're going to keep running it to the limit because they need it. They don't want it in their heads, but they need it. And it just cracks me up that I did this too. We get shocked when our kids mess up. It's like that's part of their job description.
That's true.
Right?
Part of their like job I said, description. They don't have a prefrontal cortex. They don't know what's going to happen when they do something.
Right. So we have to make sure to the extent we can that their mess ups are within the realm, with safety in mind. But that's what Be the Rock is all about. That's being that solid, immovable object that says, I'm here. I'm an adult. I know that you are going to have some of these situations, but you can always come back to me. And one of the favorite strategies of all my parents I work with is the power of O. And that just allows you to be that listener, to be that person who they can come to, that they can talk to. And it's a word that you can use that helps you to remain calm and keep your mouth shut when you should. And, now my kids will say, oh, you're owing me. So they've caught on to my strategy. But, when you're listening to some things that your kids are telling you, it can be upsetting. But part of being the rock is showing them that really adult, responsible behavior so that they can understand that they can trust you and that they can come to you. So that's key because you're not going to control the behavior if you don't have that bond and that trust. And not that you're going to control it anyway. As they get closer to 18, they're more in control and you lose control. So your goal at that point is to help them to make good choices and let them know what your expectations are and put in firm discipline if they push the boundaries too far.
Yeah, and I think that's really important. As I was talking over the last couple of weeks, and I mentioned that PFC so much because I think it's so important that their bodies and their thought processes begin to take on what we think or what they think is equal to or close to equal to being the adults and not realizing that they themselves don't realize that they don't have all of the faculties in place to make those decisions and to fully understand the consequence for the decisions that they have made. So I think that's really important. And I say the same as you, you've got to step in and be patient, but at the same, I like your O scenario. And so what I'll have you do, we're going to get ready to go to break here for just a couple of minutes. And when we come back, if you would, Piggy, run us through a couple of scenarios of how you use, how you owe your kids. O as in O-H, not O-W-E.
Right.
How you use that technique so that our listeners can duplicate that. So we're going to take a break and join me back in just a couple of minutes on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
With her thorough understanding of brain chemistry, Julie Anderson provides you with tools and processes that will change your life in a positive way. Julie uniquely blends science and psychology when she shares her knowledge and information with businesses, entrepreneurs, women's groups, and families to improve workplace morale and productivity, parents creating dynamic relationships with their children, and women achieving more in life and business. Julie Anderson will be right back with Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. From quantum physics to metaphysics, cryptozoology to conspiracy theory, energy healing to angels, on Into the Light Paranormal Radio, we're here to tell you that just because you haven't experienced it doesn't mean it's not real. Each episode, Kitty Janice, Kimberly Rinaldi, and their guests have one goal, and that's to bring another conversation and another bit of consciousness into the light. Into the Light Paranormal Radio, Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. Welcome back to Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. By including the latest scientific research on the brain-personality connection, Julie Brain Lady Anderson provides her clients with the all-important why behind what people do and how they think. The information she shares will help those who hear to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. Here again is your host, Julie Anderson, with Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
All righty, we are back on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show on Lessons in Joyful Living Network here. Very happy to have you here this morning. We again are talking about the amazing job, incredible job of being a parent with expert parent Peggy Opperle, and our author of the Fresh Ideas for Parenting Your Entitled Child at Any Age. And we had just gotten into those teen years and talking about how tumultuous that can be in terms of the interaction. And you had mentioned, Peggy, that you use that word "oh," and how do you share with the audience, how do you use that? Give us a few scenarios of how you can use that and how that works for you in a situation that's going to give you the ability to really kind of turn the control back into your hands.
Yeah, and probably my two best examples are with my oldest son, so he's going to love me for this, but...
Oh, they always love us for the stories we share.
Right. One of them had to do around chores, and he was not a fan of chores, and just got to the point where he was not taking out the garbage, and so I let him know that if he's not going to take out the garbage, then there's other things that I do for him that I won't be doing, and we'll see, we'll go from there. And he took a look, he wheeled around and he looked at me and he said, "That's right, I'm a slave. You treat me like a slave. I guess I'll just have to, you know." He just went off. And he probably kept up for about, I don't know, it seemed like 5 minutes. It was probably three, on how awful I am and how much I expect and how his friends, mothers and fathers don't expect very much, and he wishes that he lived in their house. And you can just picture the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the O was my only defense at that point, because it was really no fun. And so he would say something, I would say, "Oh." And that's the key to O. It can't be snarky. It can't be, you know, you really have to get good at a really even O, because it invites no argument. It says, "I'm listening." And it just allows you to stay present in that and in control, basically, of your own emotions. You know, I'll admit there have been times where I've let a comment fly back, and it never ends well. And so that's why O is so good. So he's watching me as I'm saying O. He knows I'm listening, and you could see his brain start to send off some warning signals. He recognized at some point that he had probably gone too far. So he started winding down, and he stopped and he said, "Mom, do you have anything else to say?" And I said, "Yeah, actually I do. I heard you that you feel treated like a slave, so let me explain to you what the life of a slave looks like." And I just went into, you know, that his room would be devoid of his Xbox, and he didn't need as many clothes as he had, so we'd go ahead and donate those. And, you know, slaves get up before breakfast to fix it for everybody else. And so I just kind of explained to him what the life of a true slave, even though we don't do that to people anymore, would look like. And is that what he's expecting? And I got a big hug and a big "I'm sorry." And that is all the power of O, because it would have been so easy to just fire back on him. But it allowed him to understand what he was doing, and it allowed me to stay in it well enough to where I could be the responsible adult in my comeback. My other favorite story was with him, too, and it was right after he got his license to drive. And in New Jersey, you don't get your full license until you're 17, so they delay it a little bit. And we lived in a community where basketball tournaments, you could drive for 20 to 25 minutes if it was an away game. So he came home with this plan of driving four or five of his friends to this town that was three or four towns over, where he had never been. It was at night. It was raining. And he thinks this is a great idea, and he's going to convince me that it's a great idea so that he can get the car keys and go. And so I'm listening to him using O so that I can make sure that he understands that I'm listening. And at the end he goes, "You just don't trust me. You're not going to let me go because you don't trust me." And I said, "Honey, I do trust you. I trust you to behave like a 17-year-old that just got his license, that's going to be driving in a car with five other kids who may or may not be calm in the dark, in the rain. I don't trust you to drive like a 35-year-old with experience."
Wow, that's powerful.
That was a real game changer in our relationship, because I was able to say, "I trust you, but I don't trust you like you want me to trust you, which is a fully developed adult. I trust you at the level that you're able to navigate." But it was the power of O that got me to that, because I listened to everything he said. He knew I listened. And when I came back with that response, he just, "Yeah, you're right. Okay, well, you drive me." So I ended up driving them. He did not get the car keys.
You know, that's awesome, because it one of the things that I emphasized to the parents, and I mentioned on the last couple of shows, and mention it again on this show, is that, you know, that the brain's not all the way active yet. There's just not all the wiring done. And so you have to become the reasoner for them, because they don't have that ability to do it the way that you and I would do it. And that's exactly what you did. You let him express, but you didn't shut him off. You let him express his feelings. And then, you know, "Yeah, I trust you to be exactly who you are." And who you are at this point is not a complete brain. I mean, you did it in a very tactful way. But the basis of it is, yeah, it's just simply not all there. And when we expect our kids to do things as an adult without an adult brain, then you're just asking for disaster or trouble to happen, because it's just not doable. They don't have the cognitive ability to do that.
Right. And we know that from the interviews of survivors of teen drunk driving. "I didn't think it would happen to me." You know, we know that when we talk to these kids, we know that they have this immense ability to discount the dangers of everything. And so convincing them that we're right and they're wrong is pointless. It really is. They don't have the brain power. They're not going to understand that. What my son was able to understand in that moment is that I did trust him, and that I was willing to work with him, and that kept our relationship solid so that we could navigate the next time he wanted something that he wasn't going to get.
Right. Absolutely, absolutely. And that's a great way to do it, because it's not about being, hard-nosed or being mean or anything like that. It's really putting their best interest first, and sometimes that means telling them no. That means not allowing them to develop that entitled feeling that, well, I should be able to do this because, you know, whatever their reasoning is at that moment. Now, Peggy, you are doing, we're going to give some contact information for Peggy before we close up the show. Because I want people to be able to connect with you well and to be able to perhaps have you come out and speak to their parenting groups if that's what they'd like, or to be able to access your resources as a consultant and to be able to get the book. So we're going to talk about that. But you also, one of the things in your bio, and it's something that I know that is very very dear to your heart, is working with junior achievement. And I didn't realize that I know you've been working with that working with that group for many years, but now I didn't realize that you were on the board for junior achievement for the Sacramento chapter. So real quick, before we go to our next break, real quick, explain to me what exactly is junior achievement?
Junior Achievement's mission is to help every child own their own financial future. So it's all about teaching them about money, how it works, how to handle it, and how to use it wisely, basically. So we used to have life skills classes in high school where we learned to balance a checkbook and we learned to do some of those things, and those just don't exist anymore. We've got kids going into college that rack up $3,000 in credit card debt and get into trouble before they even get their first report card. And it's because we're not teaching them what they need to know about money. So that's the goal of Junior Achievement. They also have a huge focus on entrepreneurship. So teaching kids how to what business ownership looks like, and in fact, there's a program, the company program for high school students, where they actually envision, create, execute, and wind down a business over the course of a year with a mentor. So they're actually doing business, not just learning about it. They're actually doing it. So it's a fantastic program. I just, for the Sacramento region, the reach is you know, a certain percentage of the kids, and just my heart is that every single kid, this should be more prevalent, or just as prevalent, not more, but just as prevalent as Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts, because it's such an important critical piece for a solid foundation of adulthood that many children are missing out on.
Wow, that is so powerful. And you being in the financial industry for as long as you were, you saw those situations where adults were coming in at, you know, I know for us, obviously that's something that's not taught in schools. I have a young girl that just graduated, a young, very close friend of the family. We call her our daughter, even though she's not literally physically our daughter. And she had to write a check the other day. And she's like, I don't even know how to write a check. And she's 18 years old. And I'm thinking, that's basic stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that's basic financial stuff that really is not getting emphasized and taught to our kids. So I would love to hear more about that. We are going to head out to our last break, and everybody stretch, stand up, take a deep breath, absorb the wisdom that Peggy has shared with us. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that. And as I said, give you ways to connect with Peggy if you want to have her work with her more in the future. So get up, stretch, and join me back in a few minutes after on the Brain Lady Speaks radio show.
With her thorough understanding of brain chemistry, Julie Anderson provides you with tools and processes that will change your life in a positive way. Julie uniquely blends science and psychology when she shares her knowledge and information with businesses, entrepreneurs, women's groups, and families to improve workplace morale and productivity, parents creating dynamic relationships with their children, and women achieving more in life and business. Julie Anderson will be right back with Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. Being in a bad marriage or relationship can make your life miserable. But staying in a bad marriage or relationship is not only miserable, but it should be unacceptable. Join relationship coach Lindsay Ellison each week for her new show, Start Over, Find Happiness, where she gives expert advice on all things divorce and breaking up, dating after divorce, good sex, bad sex, the importance of self-love, setting boundaries, how to find love again, loving toxic partners, as well as Lindsay's own journey of divorce and rediscovery that has inspired millions of women around the world. You can also sign up for her coaching program, Thrive, which helps anyone navigate through the disparity of breaking up and starting a new journey. Join Lindsay Ellison every Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. Go to lindsayellison.com for more information. Welcome back to Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. By including the latest scientific research on the brain-personality connection, Julie Brain Lady Anderson provides her clients with the all-important why behind what people do and how they think. The information she shares will help those who hear to accelerate their success in life and business through the discovery of their natural gifts and maximizing their brain power. Here again is your host, Julie Anderson, with Brain Lady Speaks on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Brain Lady Speaks radio show, where we are here interviewing Peggy Harper Lee, author, parent, financial advisor, board of directors of Junior Achievement in Sacramento. Wonderful, wonderful lady with lots of wisdom to share. Before we went to break, we were talking about junior achievement and what that does and how it helps kids to kind of fill in some of those financial education pieces that are missing in our schools that don't get taught the way that perhaps they should, because then that way you're not winding up as an adult without any direction or in a financial mess. And then what happens at 30, you wind up back in the house with the parents. And that's not necessarily what anybody wants at that stage. But Peggy, as we're wrapping up this last segment, there were a few things in the book that I did want to highlight and want to have you share, because something that I mentioned last week as we were closing up was to be cautious about alcohol and drugs, and then, you know, to have specific things that are not specific rules that are not bendable. They're not negotiable. They're not things that they can talk their way out of, or that can be negotiated down into something less, you know, so something that they can kind of get away with because of how detrimental it can be to their life and their health. And we know that things like drugs and alcohol, as I mentioned, are part of that. Share with me what you share in your book on those topics.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty unequivocal, and I've taken some flack for it, but I take the position that you have to take a stand on alcohol and drugs, and regardless of your own past history, regardless of whether you think that's going to be popular, the number of parents that tell me I'm going to let them have a beer or smoke a little pot in my house because I'd rather them do it here than do it somewhere else and get hurt, it astounds me, quite frankly. And the problem is that although they may not be getting in a car and driving and hurting someone or themselves that way, drugs and alcohol significantly impact the brain. And then in studies, it shows that it actually can affect the size of the brain. It can stop growing. It can stop maturing. And particularly if they develop an addiction, we know that if you develop an addiction, that your emotional maturity stops at the point that your addiction starts. So there's physical reasons, in addition to the legal ones, not to waver on that one. With my kids, it was in their contract. We had a contract when they started to drive that they were not to smoke or, you know, take drugs or alcohol, be in a car with somebody else that did. They always had a safe ride home if they were in trouble, no questions asked. But they were pretty clear that if they stepped over that line, there were going to be serious and immediate consequences. And so far, I've got two adults that you know, once they got to college, all bets were off. I'm not saying that they were perfect, but I got them through high school without polluting their brains and their minds with substances that can really cause some significant emotional and physical damage to their well-being. Yeah. I don't think it, and you know, that's not to say no, it can never happen, and then you have the mindset that it won't. I mean, you know that if you take a stand, that sometimes some kids will push that and some kids won't. So that's the other thing that people come back with is, well, they're going to do it anyway. Well, they might. You know, you don't want to be naive. But if you've laid out your policy and laid out the consequences, and everyone's clear, then if and when it does happen, then the consequences come into play, and there's no surprise.
That's great advice, and I am all behind you on that. You are totally right on the effect that it has on the brain and the emotional growth. It's just devastating before that brain is completely, you know, for so many years, parents were. We had all the warnings and all of the counsel to the pregnant mothers, you know, you can't have alcohol or drugs, of course, right, while that baby is developing. But they don't always think about or reason and understand that brain is still developing at 16, 17 years old. And having that influence then is going to be just as detrimental to their adult life as it would be if they were in development in utero. So in Absolutely. Terms of their emotions and all of that. So that's very, very important. Well, Peggy, are there any last points that you really want to get out here before we before we close up the show that, you know, working tactics that our parents, that your parents can, that are listening can do, last little bits of pointers, you know, that you want to make sure that everybody walks away with?
I just mainly want to end with encouragement. If you've recognized that the power has shifted from your court, whether a little bit or a lot, toward your child, and through that recognition, you decide that you want to correct that imbalance, it's going to be rough. The child has gotten some power that they can't use to their own advantage, but they like it. And getting it back or restoring that balance is going to look at first like it's worse. And so just be sure to get support. Be sure to be resolute. You don't want to go in saying, oh, okay, I'll give this a try, and then back down. Like I said before, what we know from operant conditioning is that'll just make the situation worse. Mm-hmm. So just surround yourself with whether it be counselors or coaches or accountability partners. Sometimes grandparents can be a support to this. Sometimes they can't.
Right.
On the grandparents. But, you know, if you've decided that this is you and your family and you really want to make a change and make it a new day, your kids will be the better for it. You'll be the better for it. You'll be in a position where you can really help them truly be happy. Happiness isn't about happiness in the moment. Happiness is about being equipped and about being able to navigate adulthood. And we're seeing so many children that are not navigating adulthood well. And we're looking at the kid as if they've got something wrong with them. And the reality is they were trained that way. They were taught to behave the way they're behaving. And that's on us. That's not on the kid. And I think as parents, we want better than that. And, you know, like I said before, it's the hardest job and the one for which we get the least amount of information and support. So if you've recognized that some things need to change, I just encourage you to get support and accountability partners and help, because there's no shame in that.
That's excellent. Excellent advice. And we've all had those moments. I don't think there's a single parent out there that hasn't, you know, been ready to pull every single hair out of their head and being able to reach out for help. If you're past that point and you already have a child that is not in the right position, being able to reach out and create a support is a great thing. And I think that sometimes that's just the hardest thing for us to take a bite of humble pie and say, you know what? I know I'm not handling this situation the best way, and I want my child to have to become the most secure, amazing adult that they can be. So I need a little bit of help, and there's nothing wrong in reaching out at that. So thank you for highlighting that, Peggy, and thank you so much for being on this show. I appreciate and value your time, and thank you for being a friend for the last few years. It is great to have you here.
Oh, well, thank you. Parenting is on my heart, and you know, we can't say just go do better. We have to help each other to be better, and it's all a work in progress. We don't have that I've arrived standpoint, but even if you're navigating this with an adult child, it looks a little bit more like not enabling, but there are major strides that you can take, and it will improve your relationship with your child. It won't make it worse, I promise.
Awesome. Wonderful. All righty. So if you want to get in contact with Peggy, you can, of course, Peggy, can someone get the book on Amazon, or it's best just to contact you?
No, it's available on Amazon.
Okay. So you can go on to Amazon. If you want to contact Peggy, if you want to connect with her and perhaps have her come speak to your group, or maybe, you know, hire her services as a consultant, she is at peggyharperlee.com. So Peggy, it's just Peggy at peggyharperlee. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So Peggy at peggyharperlee.com. That's easy to remember. And you can also contact her at 916-577-1982. I'm going to repeat that. This is her office number. It is 916-577-1982. 1982. And once again, Peggy, thank you. I encourage the listeners to reach out to her. She's a great person. She's just a great person to get to know. So do that. And again, thank you so much, Peggy, for being on the show with me today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And for those of you who want to reach out, listen to June's shows. They've been great to do. We've had a lot of fun and lots of information. So reach out, connect with me, follow me on Facebook, connect with me on Facebook, Purple Brain Lady, Brain Lady on Twitter, Brain Lady on LinkedIn, any of those ways you can connect with me, or send me an email, give me some feedback. Again, if you have ideas of potential guests that you think would be great to have on the show, please reach out and send me an email, and either one of my assistants or myself will get back to you at info@brainladyspeaker.com. info@brainladyspeaker.com. Follow us on iTunes, Brain Lady Speaks, or here, of course, on the Lessons in Joyful Living Network. And until next week, I want you to have an absolutely amazing time. And we look forward to closing up the month of June on the last Wednesday, talking some more about parenting and just setting ourselves up for the summer and fun things to do that will keep the brain engaged and keep our kids and our family happy. So until next week, this is Julie Brain Lady signing off. Have a great week.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Brain Lady Speaks with Julie Anderson. Julie Brain Lady Anderson is considered to be one of the nation's top experts on the brain-personality connection. She has been inspiring her audiences to fire up their brains and ignite positive changes in their relationships. And now, every week, she is here to bring that change to you. Julie often tells people that their greatest asset is not their stock portfolio, not their real estate holdings, or even their retirement account. No, it's what you were naturally born with, your brain. When you learn to tap into the potential of your natural gifts and the power of the brain-mind connection, the sky is never the limit. As a matter of fact, there is no limit. Be sure to tune in every week to Brain Lady Speaks, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Lessons in Joyful Living Radio Network. See you next time, everybody.